Okay, so yeah, I'm Alan. A little bit of my history. I was a head teacher of a primary school till 2009, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was burning out. And God said to me, "You need to pack this in. Is that I'll find you something else." So I said, "Okay," and I wrote an email to my chair of governors. Hit send and then regretted it instantly. Anyone know that feeling? And the enemy spoke to me and said, "You idiot. What did you do that for?" So I tried to unsend. Two hours later, a little boy came to my door and he said, "I've got a picture for you." Normally, I was dealing with naughty boys most of the time, you can imagine. And this boy said, "I've got a picture for you." I said, "Oh, have you? This is a secular school, a non-Christian school." And this lad brought in a picture of a rainbow. And over the rainbow, he'd put, "God is with you," and underneath it, "Whatever happens." So I said to him, "What did you do that for? Why did you do that? What lesson are you in?" He said, "We're doing slogans." "Slogans? You're doing slogans and you wrote that?" "Yeah, and my teacher said it was for you. So you can have it if you want." How many of you know that that is one of my most treasured possessions? God is with us, isn't he? In ways that we cannot begin to understand. And here's the thing. We're not actually supposed to understand. We're just supposed to have his peace that passes all understanding. See, if that's written in the Bible, then it must be so that we're not supposed to be people that understand. We're supposed to be people of the way. People who understand that he loves us unconditionally. So, long story short, and I haven't got much time, so I'll try and make this as short as I can. Because I suddenly wasn't a head teacher anymore, I had a lot of time on my hands, and I was able to go to meetings. So I went to various meetings and a conference, and the conference was with a guy called Julian Adams, who's a well-known prophet in the New Frontiers group that I was in at the time, and he brought with him a guy called James Maloney. And James Maloney was a crazy dude, and I didn't know he was going to be there, otherwise I wouldn't have been there, believe me. In the days when I was in those kinds of, you know, I need to know, I need to understand, I need to plan, I would not have thought about him, because he talked about the Holy Spirit and he talked about our spirit, our tripartite body of being part of this huge thing, that actually that's the bit that becomes perfect when we are born again. Spirit to spirit connection. I just had a spirit to spirit connection with a lady just now and I said, "God wants to dance with you." While that song was singing. And in the spirit, it's perfectly possible, and it doesn't matter what physical state you're in, and I've had my physical issues, it doesn't matter. What matters is that he loves us. And he wants to have that closeness spiritually. Excuse me. That conference, I met some people who talked to me about a school of supernatural life. So I went to this school of supernatural life, and the guy came on playing a guitar, no particular tune, no words. I looked around, no overhead projector. I thought, what kind of a meeting is this? Then this guy starts laughing. Uproariously laughing. And he said, I was talking to Dad out the back, and I told him what song I was going to start with. And he said, I wouldn't start with that if I were you. And then he started laughing again. And I'm sitting there thinking, what is this guy on? What are you talking about? And then he started to play. Do you know what anointed songs sound like? You heard a few here this morning. They just take you to a place. And something broke in me that day where I knew I didn't need to know the words. And actually the truth is, most of the songs he was singing, I did know the words. That wasn't enough, so I stepped into what had just started. It had been going for a year, called the School of Supernatural Ministry. It's changed its name now, and it's called Eastgate Supernatural School of Life, or School of Supernatural Life. I can never remember which it was around it is. Doesn't matter, because it works either way. ESSL. I am His. Can you say that to yourself? See, because I'm a head teacher, I'll say, that was rubbish. Let's do it properly. Okay, so after three, I am His. Do it again after three. One, two, three. I am His. Whose are you? And that's all that matters. The gospel is so much simpler than you think. But stuff happens to us, doesn't it? It was only recently I read this. I first made a note of it in 2013 when I was on this journey of learning who I am. It says this: attack anything that makes you feel unworthy, inadequate, hopeless, powerless, and useless. That is the evidence of the enemy. All those things need to be attacked with joy, with peace, with love and with grace, with mercy, with kindness, and the goodness of God. Attack anything that makes you feel unworthy. It's not yours. You have been made worthy by a transaction with Him. You are His. In the three battlegrounds, I read this years ago, and it never really did much for me until after this, that I started to read this, attacking anything that makes you feel unworthy. So I started to go after it, and I found this text, and it forever changed me. It's Three Battlegrounds by Francis Frangipani, if anybody's taking notes, and I think it's being recorded, so you can pick it up from that. Every area of our life not glistening with hope means we are believing a lie. And that area of our life becomes a stronghold of the enemy. Shall I read it again? Every area of our life not glistening with hope. Do you love those words? Not glistening with hope means we're believing a lie, and that area of our life is a stronghold of the enemy. And if we have a quick look at Romans 15:13, and I think our dear lady at the back is going to flick that up on the screen, says this, and I'm reading for the NIV. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When I first came to Rugeley, I was shown what's going on in the building works outside, and that huge bank that's been built across the back of this building. And I was told it was to stop floodwater getting into the town. Very sensible move. At last, the Environment Agency are taking note, aren't they, that people flood quite regularly. is because we build on floodplains, actually. But there we are. That's the way of it. So they built this big rampart. And I heard God say, yes, that will keep the water out of the town, but I am creating a spiritual flood from this side of the rampart that will enter into the town and will flood everybody who comes into contact with you. Do you know how that works? Can you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up this morning? Ask the Holy Spirit now. Close your eyes, open your hands, get into the pose. You have to do that, don't you? Ask him to fill you up this morning. Now will you do me a favor? Will you ask him another thing? Will you ask him to fill you with to overflowing? Please fill me, Lord, to overflowing. It's a scriptural word. It's not that I'm asking you to do something unusual. Now if you open your eyes, I'll explain very quickly what I think that means. This is you, and inside is Holy Spirit. And I've taken a bit out of there, so I'll ask God to fill me up. Okay, so he fills me up, and it goes right up to the brim. All agreed? It's a fairly clear analogy. What does filling you up to overflowing look like? This is no longer the capacity. The overflow becomes the capacity. And here's the wonderful thing. You take a sip, because we need Holy Spirit, right? And it doesn't empty, it fills again, because you've asked to be filled to overflowing. Here's the other thing that happens. You can't drink fast enough. Right? Doesn't matter how many times you take a drink. It's like the porridge pot. I used to tell that story in school. They loved it. The kids loved that story of the porridge pot. If you don't know it, go and find out what it is. This overflow just starts to take over this hall. An inch, 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches. Then it will reach the thresholds of the doors. What happens? It starts to go out of the doors. It gets deeper and deeper. I'm talking physical water. That's what that thing's out there for, right? Deeper and deeper. The doors burst open. Can't contain the water in this building, because it's all overflowing from all of us. It actually works just with me. It would just take longer. Yeah. That overflow has to go somewhere, right? So it starts to flow out. Now, that's the spiritual connection I'm trying to get you to make. You are the ones that bring that spiritual overflow. Don't do what I'm about to do physically. Don't do that. Because if you do that, you contain just enough for today, right? We've all done it. And then you feel empty. So you go, Lord, fill me up again. And you may or may not feel filled up again. If you leave the lid off, you become an overflow. Wherever you go, things will change. Wherever you are, whatever circumstance you're in, things will change for you. And then Hebrews 10:23 says this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. What does unswervingly look like to you? Straight. Go straight there. Don't look at your circumstances. Let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And if you look at Romans 5:3-4, it will say this. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So somehow hope comes out of suffering. And we don't like it, do we, that word, suffering. There's a translation that says problems and trials instead of suffering. I like that better for some reason. Do you have problems and trials? No. Okay. Right. I'm gonna move here tomorrow. We all have problems and trials, right? Does that create in you hope? Or does it create in you what the enemy wants you to have, the opposite of hope? It actually isn't hopelessness, it's fear. Fear of what might happen next. Worry. Anxiety. They're all bedfellows, and they will all knock on your door. Am I right? We have Holy Spirit inside of us. We can resist the devil, and he will flee from us. He will flee. But if you open the door to anxiety, to fear, foreboding, then he will make a home with you. He will set up camp in your property. So when he knocks, you should resist. Fear is not your friend. If there's going to be breakthrough and change in this area, then there has to be hope. Now, I've come here this weekend and seen how much hope there is in the building. And I've been out into the town and I've seen how people will want what you have. As long as you don't stick it under their nose and say, you dirty, rotten sinner, you need to come to church. That is not the way forward. But a free hug is. How many of you know that when you connect physically to someone, there is a transaction that takes place? That's why free hugs are powerful. They help you to understand that there is love out there, that people do care for each other. It's one of the things the church is so good at, caring for each other. But what we've done over the years is we built this somehow, this pastoral cave that we come to on a Sunday, and we share our stuff, and we share our food, and we share our lives, and we feel good about that, but we miss the purpose of the gospel, which is to step outside of these buildings and go and find the hurting, go and find the ones that are searching. We want our stuff back. We're the supernatural ones. People are searching for something supernatural. So they go to the mystics and they go to the shops that sell crystals and cards and stuff. We're the supernatural ones. We have the answers. It's time we got our stuff back. So just a few thoughts then on the subject of living and maintaining a hope-filled life. Firstly, where does our hope come from? You know the answer, don't you? And it's not a squirrel, it's Jesus. Yeah. Okay, so in 1 Peter 1:20, 21, it says this. He was chosen before the creation of the world, that's Jesus, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so, guess what? Your faith and your hope are in your own efforts. That's what it says, isn't it? Anybody reading it behind me? What does it say? Your faith and your hope are in God. It's not to do with us. It's all to do with Him. These verses carry a great promise, but why is it so hard to come by in the reality of daily life? And I just give you three words. Faith, hope, and love. Many people in the world suffer with a terrible disease. It's called insecurity. We get our feelings of apparent security from how we're perceived by others, how successful we apparently are, what we're wearing, what we're driving, whether we're popular or not, whether people notice us, and many, many other things, as you know, that drive this never-ending stream of constant worry, anxiety, and the lack of fulfillment. How many people have watched the telly? And if you watch the commercial TV every few minutes, what comes on? An advert. We don't mind the adverts, they're okay. Get a bit sick of them being the same one over and over again. What are they doing though? They're subliminally telling you you don't have enough. You need to have this. The latest one that winds me up is the cat food. They've got this new Purina food that's got this kind of meaty thing on the outside and it's got this juicy liquid inside. You think, oh, that is gross. That is so gross. But then they show the cats eating it and then they jump on your lap and they love on you. And you think, must get some of that. So I got some, but I haven't even got a cat. No, anyway. But you are my son and I love you. That's all that matters. In this supernatural life that I'm trying to describe to you, that is literally all that matters. But you are my son and I love you. Straight out of Romans 8:15. It was demonstrated very amply this morning by Jane and her daughter. Jane came out. The daughter did not wish to be here. She wanted the ground to open up and swallow her up. What did she do? She nuzzled into her mum. You can do that right away. Let's do it together. So I want you to close your eyes. Do you trust me, by the way? Are you all right with me? Okay, close your eyes. I want you to have an intimate moment with the Father. You have access to heaven, so I want you to walk into heaven. Where is heaven? Where God is, right? So at the other side of the room is a throne. On the throne is this amazing looking man, who, when you enter in, says, hey, wow, good to see you. Come over, come here, come closer. And the closer you get, the bigger he seems. So you become like a small child. And you step up onto the place where this throne is. And he says, come right up here. And then he picks you up in his arms. He gathers you in. And I want you to nuzzle into his chest. I want you to hear and feel his heart beating. Thank you, Jesus. now, because I'm running out of time, I'd like you to come back, please. Please come back. Could you just come back for a moment? I know where I'd like to stay. Now, here's the thing. Spiritually, you can do that any time. As I said to somebody just now, any time, any place, anywhere. It's a proper martini moment. And he'll dance with you in that same way, any time you need him to. So here's the thing, who cares how sophisticated, clever, successful, etc., etc., that people think we are? You are a son of the living God, the creator of the heavens on earth. It's what he thinks of you that really matters, isn't it? You must sing this song in this building. We sang it once a cappella the other day. You are no longer a slave to fear. You are no longer a slave to fear. It's cool, isn't it? You're a child of God. You see, if you get your affirmation from people, you will struggle. You need to get your affirmation from him. And I want to challenge you this morning, when you get home, look in the mirror and say to your reflection, I am amazing. I am awesome. See, it's not because of you, it's because of him. In John 17, it says this. Jesus says the prayer, doesn't he? And he says, make them glorious as you've made me glorious. Give them the glory that you gave me. We have it. We're given it. It's a free gift. There's a big deal though, isn't there, in all of this? It's called disappointment. And disappointment messes it all up. How many people in here have had a moment of disappointment in their lives? Anybody not got their hand up? Because I'll come and sit next to them. Okay, so everybody has disappointments. Our disappointment that I like to share, I've got lots of others I could share, but this is one that makes a bit of sense to a lot of people. We were asked to start a primary school opposite the church building where we are. And we've been working hard to get it to open in September last year. And then guess what happened? It's a government-sponsored project, so guess what happened? The government pulled the plug. They postponed it. And they said, really sorry, but actually didn't say really sorry. They just said, we're postponing this in the light of projected pupil numbers in the area. It's not going to open. So all those children who would be age 5 in September 2017 no longer could come to Hope Community School. Were they disappointed? Were we disappointed? Oh yeah. We were hugely disappointed. We tried to get the decision changed, reversed. Guess what? Fallen on deaf ears. But we need to understand this. God wastes nothing. In Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things, how many things? In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. See, it's a key phrase that helps me to overcome disappointment. We all know, and we've got first-hand experiences, so we don't need to go into that in depth. of things not working out the way we thought they might. So this school thing is very disappointing. But I refuse to live in that place of disappointment. In Romans 5:3, it says this: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Thanks, Paul. Terrific. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, perseverance, isn't it? And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So we're looking out over that piece of land still. They can't build houses on it. Ha ha ha. So Countryside would like to make a few extra million, but no, it's designated as a school. Not built yet. What do I see when I look out? I see this vibrant, spirit-filled, Christian-based school that will change children's lives forever. And their parents and the connections we have with them. But not this year. Maybe next year, maybe the year after, but certainly it will happen. So I choose to see that and not live in the disappointment. It's still disappointing, believe me. As I share it with you, I feel it. And there are other things, of course, in my life that I find disappointing. But I refuse to live in that place that will take me to fear. Romans 12:15 says this: "With rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." It's okay. Joy is not based around how much fun we're having. It really isn't. It's an internal strength. Trust in him. He works all things for good. Do you trust him? Do you really choose to trust him? See, God has the power to do all he's promised you. Do you believe that? The main reason why people are not praying for healing is disappointment. Praying for people who get healed is exciting. Praying for people who don't get healed is really not a great activity, believe me. But if you don't go through with praying for everybody you come across, you will not see healing. How can you if you're not praying for people to be healed? I prayed for a lady in 2011 in London. I was in a C of E church in London with Danny Silk, and they had a healing session at the end, and this lady came up and said she got a pain in one knee. She could hardly walk. And so I said, can I pray for you? So here I am on my knees before this beautiful young lady with my hands wrapped around her knee, with permission, I have to say. And something happened. Something started to crunch inside her knee. I could feel it in my hands. And I said, what's happening? She said, it's gone hot and it feels like it's crackling. I said, yeah, I can feel that. Should we continue to pray? Oh, yes, please. So we prayed a bit longer. How many seconds? Probably 20, 30 seconds. And then she said, hang on, I think something's happening. So she starts to spin and twirl around the room. And it was later at the coffee time that she told me that she worked for the Royal Ballet. She was a professional ballet dancer and she'd not worked for 6 weeks. Guys, I don't remember the journey home. I was on a place that I can only describe as amazing. 6 weeks later, we were in a healing conference with Pete Carter and Joaquin Evans, guy from the States, and they asked for testimony. Guess who was the first one out? So I go and tell the story. Wow, this was amazing. Guess what happened? Da, 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 da. At the break time, a lady comes up and she says, both my knees are shot will you pray for me? So my wife and I prayed for this lady at the break time, and she went and sat down, and at lunchtime she came up and she said, my knees have been healed. I'm walking around fine. They didn't heal immediately, but they're now healed. Joy! What fun! On the testimony of that, a lady phoned her son, who was in Germany somewhere in the army, who hadn't been able to run for weeks, and she said, I've got a testimony of people getting healed through Jesus' power. Can I pray for you? Well, she didn't say, can I? I'm praying for you, and this is on a text, I am praying for you to get healed. By 3 o'clock that afternoon, she'd had a text from her son to say he'd gone for his first run in 6 weeks. So I have a faith for knees. I prayed for Scott's knees and just now. I have a faith for it. He might not feel it immediately, but I have a faith that there's a healing process going on. Let's have faith for it. Let's step into this thing. That is the gospel. That's the awe and wonder that you'll find when you step into these amazing things. Kill off pessimism. Is that even a word? Yeah, it is. Pessimism, that's what it is. Pessimism and cynicism. Kill off pessimism and cynicism. There's no place for it in kingdom people. We are children of light, hope, and faith. Learn to instinctively believe the best of each other and give the benefit of the doubt. Once you lose all of that, then things start to happen. Trust starts to be the currency that you use. Please remember this. The gospel has a happy ending, right? But actually, the truth is, we can live in that happy time right now. We can go to heaven any time we want. God says, who are you? Who are you? Here's the thing. See, if in answer to that question, you say something like this, oh God, I'm a poor sinner, saved by grace, getting through life but feeling unsuccessful, disorganized, prayers not answered and always under attack from the devil. But I love you, Lord. Ask yourself this question. Who told you that? Who told you that? Why do you think that is the case? Why do you think like that? And the truth is, it's because it's been our experience, hasn't it, over the years. So that's who I must be. Besides, most Christians call themselves by their past, so I thought that's what I was supposed to be as well. Here's what I hear God saying over me these days, and all of you hearing this can hear this message. God says, that is ridiculous. You are not who your past says you are. You are who I say you are. And God says this, why do you say every time you move forward in me, you get attacked by the devil? It might be true for you, Alan, but it's not the truth. Why do you talk more about Satan's attack than my protection? Don't you understand that whatever you talk about most, you will see most of? Romans 10:17 says this, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. I'm constantly renewing my mind through Christ who strengthens me. See, God has a creative plan for all of you here in Rugeley Community Church. Do you believe it? There is so much creativity in this room. He wants you to be his. Paul says this in Ephesians 1:17, and I will come to a conclusion in a moment or two. I keep asking, there's a clue. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. He just wants you to know him better. He wants to fill you and bring you wisdom and revelation, and his will is for you to know him better. Are you willing and prepared to do that? Will you dream with him again? I want to make a declaration over you. You see, hope enables you to try new things and dream big dreams. Fear of disappointment grounds you to your present reality, makes you satisfied with mediocrity, causes you to live in fear-based Christianity, limits your faith, destroys your ability to lead, limits your vision and confines your future. Release yourself from your present reality. Allow your spirit to soar, to dream again. Submit your imagination to God and ask him to paint a picture of your future and your new identity. Today, as you declare this over your life, I believe your body, soul, and spirit will be refreshed and renewed. Here it comes. And I'll read this to you, and I want you to hear it, but I think we've got plans in place for you to see it in writing. And here's the declaration over you. This is over you, Rouge Lee Community Church, for you to move on from this place. I am able to dream and trust the dream. I don't have to make it happen. I work from peace. I rest in the power of the supernatural. I am not limited to just this natural realm. God is for me and desires to see me living out of my true identity. God is going before me and leading me. I trust his ability to speak to me and cause me to hear. Hope and rest are my companions. They lead me and they work things out for my good. I value their companionship and do not stray from them. I value the peace of God and keep his peace as my compass to attain my dream. I listen to my spirit and trust that it will know what to do at all times, because it is one with Christ's spirit. I reject striving because it hinders my ability to hear. My spirit never strives nor gets stressed. I recognize when I'm listening to the wrong voice because it does not have peace, rest, and dominion attached to it. I am full of peace at all times. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.